I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi everybody, Karun Chandok here, just back from the Belgian Grand Prix. It's a beautiful day in England, so I thought I'd sit out in the garden and record this video vlog. You might hear some birds and some planes, but anyway, something a bit different. Really tense contest between Mercedes and Ferrari in Spa. Actually, I think it ended up a lot closer than a lot of people, including me, expected. I mean, this really should have been a Lewis Hamilton Mercedes slam dunk, but actually Ferrari seemed to be a much better form than I think anyone really expected. All of a sudden, especially when we got to Q3, it became quite apparent that it was game on. It's interesting. Now, I think on the Fridays, they're all playing games, particularly Mercedes, Ferrari and Red Bull. They're all playing games a bit more in terms of showing their hand. And therefore, you know, as the season goes on, different engine cycles and things like that, we're not seeing the peak performances until really Q3. Free practice three. And then eventually when we get to qualifying Q2, we saw Mercedes turn the wick up and they gained something like 5 kilometers an hour, which I think is just sheer power, and it shows the difference in the power modes. The wind didn't really change direction, and I don't think they changed a huge amount of downforce. So you know, it shows yet again that Mercedes extra horsepower makes a big difference, and that really comes into play when it comes to the Grand Prix, because when you look at the opportunities that Seb had at the end of the Kemmel Straight, on the two chances he had a great slipstream and a great toe, but he ran out of electrical juice and he ran out of power, really, before he could make the move. And it was the superior horsepower off the Merc that kept Lewis just enough in front as they went up the straight between Eau Rouge and Les Combes. Let's go sort of through the weekend. I think Lewis, absolutely stellar weekend, faultless all through it. You know, in qualifying, the lap he delivered was absolutely stellar. There was, I don't think, anything left on the table. He did a pretty, you know, solid job all through free practice. You know, Valtteri had no chance. For whatever reason, Valtteri looked really off color. Didn't look like he was anywhere close to where he needed to be to challenge Lewis. And come the Grand Prix, for me, I think that there's a key moment, not so much after the start, because I think off the line he just had more grunt than Sebastian at the top of Les Combes. But I think there was, on the safety car restart, they went through Eau Rouge, and the way that whole thing unfolded, I think first of all Mercedes did a very good job of making sure that the drivers had enough ERS energy from the electrical side at the end of the Kemmel Straight in case they needed to defend. So Lewis was able to go to a higher power mode and change the mode. So at some point Seb had a bit of a D-rate, whereas Lewis could keep going. But still he was on the soft tire, whereas Seb was on the ultra soft. So that's two steps different, and therefore the tire warm-up was not as good as on Seb's car. But when he got to the Kemmel Straight, and he was going down there, and you could see he picked one line. He stuck to the middle of the road, and Seb was sort of going left and right. And he judged, I thought, that braking to perfection. And that to me, is one of Lewis's biggest strengths, and always has been through his career. You know, there are very few people in the history of F1 who have been better on the brakes than Lewis Hamilton. And I think we got such a good illustration of it on Sunday, where he picked his braking point, he got the car stop. I mean, psychologically, that's hard to do. You've got a guy on potentially better tires right behind you in the slipstream, but he picked that point, stuck to it, got to the apex, and then he was away. So I think that was a classic Lewis Hamilton defense, and that's it's those moments on where championships are won, and you know, you compare that to someone like Bottas, who looked so off color all weekend and got mugged on the restart by both Daniel and Kimi, and suddenly you realize that's why Seb and Lewis are the A-listers, that's why they're the number ones in the team, and that's why they are the two guys at the top of the world championship. Let's go through the rest of that. Seb dug it out in qualifying, got lucky because Kimi gave him a slipstream, but he didn't look as comfortable as Kimi through free practice. When he got to Q2 and Q3, it started to come to him. Kimi seemed to have lots of vibration issues and lots of trouble with his tires, and he just didn't seem as happy. But Seb looked behind all through until they got to that final round of Q3, where Kimi gave him the slipstream back to the line, and that gave him the front row spot. In the race, Seb did what Seb does. You know, he's got tremendous ability to hammer out those laps, lap after lap after lap, kept the pressure on Lewis, waiting for a mistake. The mistake never came. Equally, you know, he never made a mistake. They just sort of sat together all through the Grand Prix. I think, as I said, I think there was maybe that one opportunity after the restart, but I think the combination of the Mercedes power modes and Lewis's braking kept him in front. So, but a strong weekend from Seb. I think he should be happy to come away from Spa losing only 7 points rather than 10. And I think for Mercedes, it was opportunity lost for not getting Valtteri in between Lewis and Seb. So I think that was quite a key point for the championship. For Kimi, it was a strange race because, he got the penalty for double wave yellows, and it's such a hard one because as a driver, you see double wave yellows, you need to back out of it. But in fairness to him, they were on the straight, completely away from the racing line. And I think he got caught out just because he did a personal best sector, and it was quite harsh on him, but rules are rules. Because otherwise, I think he actually had a good car in the race, and he would have definitely ended up ahead of Daniel. So it was a shame for him, real utter shame for Max, because there was 80,000 screaming Dutch fans in the grandstand. It was absolutely nuts. When we were driving in on Thursday, Lee McKenzie and I don't know how, but after 16 years of going to Spa, I still managed to get lost arriving at the paddock. And we ended up in the Dutch campsite somewhere out near Lecombe. And it was absolutely insane. I've never seen so much craziness in one campsite in my life. Maybe because I don't camp enough, but that's besides the point. It was nuts. And for them to see their main man drop out after 8 laps, especially when at the end, when you see how it panned out and Daniel got a podium, Max was ahead of Daniel all through the weekend, and that's really unfortunate for him. Who else? Fernando Alonso, usual theatrics of ranting down the radio and don't speak to me and all sorts, and you can understand his frustration, but with every week that goes along, you start to realize that his options are closing. Sebastian obviously re-signing with Ferrari, that was the big news out of the weekend on the driver market, re-signing for 3 years or further 3 years. So, the options are starting to close out for Fernando, and it's getting to be a situation where if we're going to stay in F1, he's going to stay at McLaren. And I really hope Honda get it sorted on the engine, because it's not good for him, it's not good for Van Dorn either. I think Stoffel's driving really well. We saw they did a great job of using the slipstreams and, to get him up there. And Fernando got up to 7th on lap 1, brilliant start, and then it just fell apart. So it's a shame. And also for Jolyon Palmer, I thought, who looked very good all through free practice, ahead of Nico Hülkenberg. And then, the gearbox went pop in Q3. He was ahead of him in qualifying, I think on various stages, and he was on for probably his best qualifying of the year. And Nico showed that Renault are genuinely now the fourth best team. And finally, I think we got to talk about the Force Indias, because, clearly the gloves are off as well as they have been since Baku. But you know, the first one on lap one when they hit each other, yeah, it's tricky always on lap one, you got cars all over. And personally, as much as Checo is a good friend of mine, I do think he could have given his teammate a bit more room on that second instance. I think, you know, when you're crowding somebody up against the wall, I know what it's like, because the natural line is for you to come across from La Source towards the wall, and you see the wall coming and you're thinking, oh, that gap's closing, so he's got to lift. But I think when you're driving for a team, and if you are, you know, in a situation where you respect your teammate, you would give him not a massive amount of room, but enough room for him to at least come safely out of it, and then you sort it out at Le Combe at the top of the hill. And but then after that, the comments that came out from both drivers, first Esteban, because he came out with all sorts of comments about Checo wanting to kill him. Checo's not a bad guy, he doesn't want to kill him, but you know, it was all imploded. Anyway, we'll see how that pans out when we get to Monza. But only 7 days to the next race. Hopefully this plane isn't interfering this recording too much, but yeah, only 7 days to the next race. Monza should be an out and out Mercedes race. I mean, it's, you know, Bottas has to get his stuff together. He's got to get there in between Seb and Lewis to help Lewis in the championship. And I think Spa was a weekend that showed. Now Valtteri's heading to the territory of being a number two, you know, unless there's a DNF somewhere. So we'll see what happens, but see you in Monza.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.